I hope that the title of the message that I'm seeking to bring during this Stewardship Emphasis Month caught your attention, being wealthy and Christian too. I pick it because it affects every one of us. All of us are rich, wealthy, and prosperous, especially when you compare to the vast majority of the rest of the world who are so very poor. And the question that whether it's possible for a person to be rich and be a Christian too, in all honesty, is one that I've struggled with throughout my life. To show you why that has been a struggle for me, I want to share a little bit of my background, where I've come from, and why it causes this question. And as I do so, I think you will also identify with it, because it concerns all of us on this question of wealth and Christianity. But I grew up in a family that you certainly would not say was extremely rich by any means, but it wasn't that we couldn't have been rich, because my dad had a lot of opportunities to become very wealthy, but he walked out of a law firm in Atlanta that was very prosperous in order to go into the ministry. And when he went to a church down in Florida in 1943, during the real estate boom, he could have become very wealthy in buying up real estate during that time. But he didn't choose those things because it just wasn't that important to him. He gave all of that up because he wanted to focus on being a good husband and a good father, and also being a minister and a good school teacher. He did that as well. We lived in a very modest house, three small bedrooms, a combination living room, dining room, a very small porch, a small kitchen, and a very small bathroom that all six of us shared together. You know, you get to know each other real well, and you learn to work together under those conditions. But during my boyhood days, my family never drove a brand new car, but we had used cars that were very nice. We never had a problem having enough closets to hold all our clothes, because we didn't have very many clothes. And I'm sure that I appreciated my two pairs of shoes growing up, one for Sunday and one for school, more than I appreciate the dozen pair of shoes that I have today. Because my parents were both educators and they knew how important it was for a child to get a good education, my father taught school at a very fine college prep school in Fort Lauderdale. And he taught there, among other reasons, so that his children could go there. For back then, teachers' kids got to go tuition free. So I attended that school, was benefited by it. But the kids that I went to school with, they had things at home that I never dreamed of having. Back then, it was the Cadillacs and Continentals that were the cars to drive. They had swimming pools in their backyards. They had yachts tied up behind the swimming pool, country club memberships, and their houses had two or three or maybe even more bathrooms. That was amazing. I must confess that I was often envious of these material things. And I'm sure that I said something to my parents about it, because I can still remember my father saying to me, "But Roy, we are the richest family in the world. We have riches that they don't even know." He was talking about spiritual riches. He said, "I'm much more valuable than material riches." Because of this situation, my closest friend all through my growing up years was an only child. His father was a self-made multimillionaire back then. And he always loved to come over to my house, where there were plenty of kids and lots of noise and confusion, whereas I always liked to go over to his house, where there was all those nice things that we didn't have. But I decided when I was young that I would do everything that I could to make sure that I enjoyed all the blessings and prosperities of life, including a nice house, nice cars, nice clothes, the wherewithal to travel the world, and I will always be grateful that I have been so fortunate. But as I enjoyed my travels, I began to see that so many people, most people in the rest of the world, in Mexico, in Africa, in Italy, in the Holy Lands, everywhere else I went, that most of the people were a lot poorer than I was living in this country. They lived in shacks, in ghettos. They slept with their children in alleyways. They died of diseases and malnutrition and often went to bed hungry. And as I read my Bible more, I discovered that it had a whole lot to say about rich and poor. In fact, Jesus had more to say about this subject of money and wealth, rich and the poor, than any other single subject, including heaven or hell or prayer or anything else. During my years in seminary, and then afterwards as I began the ministry, I would attend national and international meetings of the world, and I began to hear at these meetings more about the plight of the poor, particularly in other countries of the world. And then I'd meet people from Africa or India or Indonesia or South America or even other Americans whose living conditions I just couldn't even imagine. And I began to develop a troubled conscience. Was it wrong for me to have so much when so many other people had so little? And although for the most part I have never seriously considered giving up what I have, still I began to wonder if it was wrong to be rich. Was I wrong to want to work hard and save my money so that I could provide for my family all the nice things that we have enjoyed? Am I not a Christian, or am I less of a Christian because I have and enjoy a nice house, nice clothes, nice cars? I've belonged to country clubs along the way, taken nice trips, and always was overweight because I had too much good food to eat. And as I began my work as a minister, I became aware that there are many rich people who have the feeling that the church condemns them because of their wealth and prosperity. Throughout history, the church has often made the wealthy to feel uncomfortable, as if there was no salvation possible for them. But is this right? Can a person not be rich and be Christian as well? The Bible does not say that there is no salvation for the rich. Jesus may have said that it's a little harder for the to be Christian and rich as well, and yet there are many wealthy people in the Bible who succeeded at it. Zacchaeus, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, to name a few. The fact is that there is nothing wrong with being truly rich as long as you're also truly Christian as well. You shouldn't regret your wealth. You shouldn't feel guilty. You should feel grateful that you have been so blessed and reflect that gratitude to God by using the resources you have in order to carry out God's purposes. So what about this question of being rich and Christian too? Before anyone accuses me of giving a lecture on economics instead of a sermon, I want to remind you of some of the things that the Bible has to say about this. I've already pointed out that Jesus had more to say about the subject of money and wealth and materialism than any other subject, but here are some other passages. Everyone to whom much is given, of him or her much will be required. Jesus told the rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. In the parable of the last judgment, Jesus reminds us that as we do it unto the least of these, the poorest of these, we do it unto him. And in the scripture that Ann just read this morning, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I guess the gospel teachings about money and the Christian attitude toward money is summed up best when it says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." In our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus talks about food and clothes and shelter and how we all worry about all these things. But Jesus said, if you will just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about them. And I know that there are preachers, especially some TV evangelists for sure, that sort of distort this teaching of Jesus. And they will say, if you'll only give your money to the Lord, that all of your financial problems will disappear and you will become rich. And they'll even go as far and say, if you'll just send me $100 today, I guarantee you'll receive a check for 10 times that much during the week that is ahead. But it's not necessarily true that becoming a Christian will guarantee that you will be rich. Some of the finest Christians I've ever known have been some of the poorest people I have ever known. Nor is it automatically true, the opposite. If being a Christian won't make you rich, then being rich won't necessarily make you a Christian. In fact, being wealthy can make it more of a challenge, but it doesn't keep you from being Christian. The challenge is, as Jesus said, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it was impossible. He just said it was more of a challenge. It's harder. But what determines whether a wealthy person is Christian or not has a lot to do with their attitude toward money. Do you love money and the things that money can buy? Or do you love God? Which one do you love more? Do you seek first material things, or do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? So wealth and Christianity are certainly not exclusivistic. It's not an either-or matter, but it is a matter of where your priorities are. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be. And Jesus said also, and it's true, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Being rich doesn't automatically make you unchristian either, any more than being rich makes you a lover of money. Sometimes I think that people that are very poor love money and covet money more than people who are rich. Like it's been said, the only people that know that money isn't the answer are people who have plenty of it. And still, we must not forget that Jesus said it makes it harder to become a Christian the more that you have. And quite often, wealth and more possessions only increase your fear, your worries, your selfishness, and your temptations. Don't forget the story of the rich young ruler. Let me also point out that being wealthy means more than just money itself. It includes the things that money provides for us, like health care, proper medicine, the opportunities to get an education, plenty of food and proper nourishment, clothing and shelter, having a job, having the right to participate in the decisions that are made that affect your life. Many poor people in this world, in fact, I would guess the majority of people in this world, don't have those basic human rights. And there is a growing gap between the rich and powerful and the poor who don't have those rights. But even though this is true, I still oppose any implication that being rich will keep you from being Christian as well. Rich Christians have resources they can use to help others in this world more so than poor Christians have, for one thing. Whether the rich are Christians or not depends upon the attitude they have toward their wealth and also the attitude they have toward other people. There are two basic attitudes you can have toward wealth. The first attitude thinks of wealth in terms of ownership. It's the attitude that says, I earned it, I made it, it's mine, I can do what I want with it, and they're accountable to nobody but oneself. Such an attitude can make people cold, callous, and selfish. One preacher actually described it this way very vividly. He said they can eat caviar while a neighbor starves to death. They can play solitaire on Persian rugs while slum children die of malnutrition. They can pick flowers on Golgotha while the Son of God dies hanging in the rain. They are like the rich fool in the Bible who tore down his barns so that he could build bigger barns to hold more of his wealth. But the second attitude that you can have towards wealth, an opposite attitude, is looking at wealth in terms of Christian stewardship. It's an attitude which says, what you have is not your own, but it is a trust from God. And with that trust comes responsibility. You can't do with it what you want, but you do what God wants you to do. And that includes using part of what you have in order to help others who don't have so much or who are struggling in life. The second attitude is the crucial test of whether an individual or even an economic system can be considered Christian or not. And that test is whether the individual or the economic system is concerned only with making money for the few, or are they concerned with enriching the life of everyone? And one of the concerns that Christians who have a world vision have with world economic systems, whether it be communism or whether it be capitalism, is this very question of whether the system is only concerned with a few, or is it concerned with everybody? From our American point of view, there's no question that the Russian communistic system benefits only a small minority of people in that country. But then some raise the same question about our capitalistic system that we like. Those who are concerned about our American system of capitalism do not want to do away with the free enterprise and profit-making system. I don't want to do that. But I want to make sure we adjust the system to make sure that more people benefit from it, from the profits of it, and so that the economic system is concerned with the welfare of everyone. Like we say in our basic beliefs in this country, we want to preserve the general welfare, not just the welfare of a few. And if America can do this, continue to do this, we will continue to be a world leader. And I might add that we are right at a very tipping point in the future of the world and who's going to be the leader. And we have every potential to continue to be the leading nation of the world, but it only depends upon how we handle the situations that are changing so rapidly. Some people will say that personal wealth and prosperity are private matters. But can we really say they're private matters if the way in which we gain our wealth and keep our wealth and use our wealth has social consequences? Nothing remains private if it does hurt to other people. So I come back to my basic question, can you be rich and be Christian too? It all depends on your attitude, whether you see it in terms of ownership or stewardship, whether you're willing or not to share what you have with others who maybe don't have as much. It doesn't mean, as with the case of the rich young ruler, that you have to sell everything and give to the poor. That was a prescription for that one man because he was so tied to his wealth and his possessions. In other biblical examples, like with Zacchaeus, he gave half of everything he had to the poor. But generally, the biblical guideline has been the tithe, or 10%, to use to do God's work in this world. I once heard a member of the church, a woman, was livid because she said, "I can't stand it that our government pays farmers not to grow crops, and we have a lot of food that rot in warehouses while millions of people are starving in other parts of the world." That's a sensitive Christian person. But in closing, let me repeat again what I'm trying to say. I am not seeking to give any false comfort and security to those who are rich. But it is true that the vast majority of the wealthy do have a long way to go if they really want to be like Jesus. But neither do I want anyone to think that it's impossible to be rich and Christian too. It may be more difficult, Jesus says, but it's not impossible. The crucial question of which is more important to you, the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, or your wealth and your possessions? And it's not an either-or situation, because all of us have both. The question is, which is the priority? Which one is more important? The way you earn your wealth, the way you use your wealth, or fail to use it, clearly reflects what our priority is. It's not a sin to be rich, but it is a sin to be rich and not practice God's values. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And it may seem to be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, Jesus said, but it is not impossible. As I said, Zacchaeus made it, Joseph of Arimathea made it, Nicodemus made it, and so can any rich person who is truly Christian.